Al?
Yeah.
No.
No, yeah. Okay. Well,
I will tell you something, but for my birthday this year, my wife gave me a gym membership, which is one of those gifts that you go, oh, you know, it's like giving a guy a certificate for hair plugs.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I guess you think I'm fat.
You're doing this because you want me to be around longer.
That was her excuse. How do you argue with that? You
know, yeah, I know. Well, Bill, I've been asked to represent a whole bunch of white-collar workers who are walking around with a scowl on their face wanting to laugh, but they have no one to humor them. anything you can do, Bill?
That's a tough call there, Al.
Yeah.
I'm so looking forward to coming to Eau Claire. You know, it's funny. I've actually played Eau Claire way back in my career. I don't even know if they still have. There used to be a country festival there every summer.
You bet.
I'll tell you a story there. I was there one year, and Here's Your Sign, it just hit, you know, big. And so, you know, you go to those things, and it's like eight acts a day. And I was on like at 2 p.m. Now, this shows you how far back it goes. Little Leanne Rimes had just come out with Blue. So she was probably, I don't know, 12, 11, 13, something like that. I was on stage doing my show, and she was coming up behind me. So I finished my set, and as I'm finishing the set, this kid walks up with a big cardboard thing that says, "Here's your sign," and he set it on the stage with a marker and wanted me to sign it, like you're supposed to do.
Sure.
And then he went back to his seat. So I reached down, and I'm signing it, and I look up, and there is a throng of people coming towards the stage now. So I finish my set, and I go to the left-hand side of the stage, and I just start signing autographs all the way across while Leanne's band is setting up. I must have signed 75 autographs, and I stood up and I said, "Hey, thank you all very much to start with." And a guy with like a 2-year-old on his neck stands up and goes, "Hey, don't be a jerk. Sign this for my kid."
So, yeah, maybe you weren't big back then. Well, now you are, though, and that's cool that you're coming back.
I'm amazed that people still pay money to hear what I have to talk about. But this business has been so amazing and so good to me. You know, it's one of these businesses that, as you well know, it's easy to get caught up in what you're not doing. And then I talk to someone like you, and I'm sitting in my office, I'm looking around, and I've achieved everything I set out to do. I got to do TV, a sitcom. I had a gold and platinum comedy record. I've written books, been in movies, and now I've just sold a drama to TNT because I'd like to try my hand at dramatic acting.
Ooh.
You know, if the good Lord came to me today and said, "Bill, you've had a good run. Your career's over." I could walk away and say, I've had a great time. I mean, I've really got to do everything I wanted to do. And there's nothing better than, like, when you're on stage there at the State Theater and you're on a roll with that audience. I wish everybody could have that feeling that, you know, everybody's laughing and you're having a great time. And I think probably the reason for my success is not because I'm the funniest guy out there, but I think it's because I do a clean show and I keep my material really related, you know, just everyday life stuff.
Yeah.
And I try to tell that to new comedians that, you know, you don't need to swear. And I'm not soapboxing here. Listen, I love a good dirty joke as much as the next guy. But I'm not going to take my wife to watch an hour and a half of it. And I don't want people to have to explain stuff to their kids on the way home. You know, it's because that's the one thing I've noticed is that, you know, I've had fans now that say, "Oh, man, I've been watching you since I was 9. And I'm like, A, I feel really old. But B, you know, I got a fan for life there now.
You bet. I was reading your bio, and I was going back to that time when you were a DJ at a club, and you decided to get up on stage. I should ask Bill if he has been PG-13 from the beginning.
I guess that's been, you know, I've been doing this 30 years. I think probably in the beginning, if I was to be honest, I probably was what I would call a club act.
Okay.
You know, there was a little swearing that probably didn't need to be there. But you know what? It was funny. For whatever reason in my career, the guys that shaped my career were Bob Newhart, Bill Cosby, guys like that. And I started looking at them, and I go, what's the common denominator there? And it was that they work clean, and they're still working. I got to meet Bob Newhart. I sat on a panel of a TV panel with him. And I got to tell you, even at 50, when I met him, I was still like a little kid. Because I can remember sitting with my dad and listening to the Button Down Mind albums of Bob Newhart and watching him on The Tonight Show. And
his phone call routines.
Oh, the one-sided phone calls. That was genius.
No kidding.
So I think one of my favorite ones was Abraham Lincoln's press secretary.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Abe, we have to keep the stovepipe hat. Yeah.
I remember that.
And I hope that someday when my career is done, I hope that people will look back on my career and say, You know, he was funny and he was clean. You know, listen, you know, you look at somebody like Richard Pryor. He wasn't cussing just to be cussing. That was part of his lifestyle. But I just feel like I think an audience appreciates a joke better when it's clean. They know it takes time to write a clean, funny joke. I was doing a show in Bismarck, North Dakota this January, 15 below zero. I'd flown all day because no one flies direct into Bismarck. I get to the Hyatt. I walk up to the check-in counter, and the little girl at the check-in girl goes, "Well, hello, Mr. Engvall. Welcome to Bismarck. Is this business or pleasure?" And I thought, what? Well, yeah, it's pleasure. What time's the pool bar open, honey?
And thank you for the joke. I can use that.
Yeah, that's right.
Our guest is Bill Engvall, comedian, appearing tonight at the State Theater in Eau Claire. You were going to be a teacher, I read.
Yep.
What did you want to teach, elementary?
I was going to teach elementary kids.
Okay.
Just because I wanted to get them before they became too smart-alecky. You know, I think teachers in their own rights are entertainers. And my proof is, if you think back in your education years, if you had a teacher that really made learning fun, you can remember their names. And I can remember, like, back to my kindergarten teacher, there's like a handful of them, I can remember their names.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I'm not really into discipline the kids, so they would have loved me.
You mentioned earlier, you said, I've done most of what I set out to do. Did you have goals at the beginning of things that you wanted to accomplish as an entertainer?
You know, I think I did. But, you know, I got to tell you, Al, it was one of these things. I just thought it was a cool hobby. I never thought it would be what I would end up doing for the rest of my life. I think until, you know, when Here's Your Sign went, came out and went platinum, I think at that point I went, ooh, I better start taking this a little more seriously. Thank God it worked out, because I'm not trained to do anything else. You know, unlike Jeff, who, you know, he's always been very business-minded, and, you know, we started out in IBM and all that, I was a DJ in a nightclub.
Yeah.
And so, you know, comedy was just, I'm like, oh, I'll try my hand at it. And I fell in love with it, but I never thought it'd be what I'd be doing. I mean, I always wanted to be an actor, but I always thought if you wanted to be an actor, you call yourself an actor, you're an actor. You know, I didn't realize you went to study in classes and all that. In fact, I'll tell you a funny story. When my wife and I first moved to L.A., she was 8 months pregnant with our first child. We were renting a house we could not afford, and I got my first audition. And so I told my wife, hey, read this with me a couple times before I go. So we read a couple times, and I found this out years later that after I left the house, she sat there on the couch and just started crying. And I said, why were you crying? And she goes, because I was pregnant with our first child. We couldn't afford this house, and you couldn't act your way out of a paper bag.
Wow.
So in her own sweet way, she got me to go to acting classes and stuff. And I love acting. I really enjoy being able to climb in somebody else's skin and bring that character to life. But there's nothing that compares to stand-up.
Speaking of acting, I've got an idea for a Western. You can be the lead in a thing called Billy Lingo.
Billy Lingo.
What do you think?
You know what's funny? You bring that up because when they called me about hosting the Lingo game show,
mm-hmm.
They said, hey, we want you to host this game show. And my first thought was, oh, God, is my career over already?
Yeah.
But I actually found out recently that the game show network pad, they're not going to pick it up. So.
Hmm.
But it's funny, you know, when you lose one thing, you pick up another thing. I just sold a drama to TNT that's loosely based, and you'll remember this series, it's loosely based on the old McLeod series.
Yep.
So I'm going to play like a Texas Ranger that gets transferred to Chicago or L.A. Or New York, and he's kind of a fish out of water thing. And the guy that's writing this guy, John Tinker, wrote Lost and Breakout Kings and Hawthorne. So I got a really good writer on it, and so I'm really excited about that to try, because I did... Last year, I did an episode of Leverage and I did a three-episode arc on Hawthorne where I got to play a dramatic role, and just was like this whole new world was opened up to me.
Can't wait to see that, man. That's intriguing.
Yeah, I hope it, you know, I think it's going to be great. We'll see. You know, of course, you know the process of getting some on the air. So anything that gets on the air is almost an accident. So.
Well, I got one thing that's really going well for you here coming to Western Wisconsin. There are a lot of Norwegians here.
Ah.
Engvall is Norwegian, yes.
Yep. It was funny. Back in my family tree, our name used to be Swenson. But apparently somebody thought that was just too easy, so let's get a name no one can remember.
Wow.
A lady sent me a Swedish phone book page that had Engvall, and Engvall in Sweden is like Smith. But you'll see like Engvall Cleaners, Engvall Donuts. So I got to get back there someday. Maybe I'll be somebody.
Well, Bill, you're really cut out for comedy, because one thing I like about you, and I did a lot of research, and in doing that research, I ran across lots of photographs of you. And the way you pose, the way you smile, always appears as if you're hiding something. You know,
you know, it's funny you bring that, because I've had several people say that, and I don't mean to do it, but I guess it's just, I guess ever since I was a kid, there was that little bit of a dark side to me, that kind of like the kid, like when you catch your kid doing something wrong and they kind of grin at you like, you totally knew you were doing that.
Well, I had other questions for you, but I'm going to let you go. And safe travels. Have a wonderful time in the Midwest. Keep up the good work. We'll be looking for all the stuff you're doing.
Well, Al, I appreciate the time, and God bless you. And until everybody come on out and have a good time, we'll laugh it up.